this is Archer Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And, well, tonight we have with us a special guest, Dr. Michael Kaufman. And Dr. Kaufman certainly has been studying for many years, as I have, what is going on in the world, and how do you correlate the political events with the spirits of forces that are at work within our society. He's put together a DVD, which we've had the opportunity of watching, and of course it goes into the background of how this all fits together. And until you understand that the other side, and there is another side, is energized by truly dark and sinister spiritual forces, and they write about them. And really, Chris, the strength of this DVD is, Dr. Kaufman will give you the exact references where you can read what the other people on the other side are saying, and then tie it into this whole idea of destroying the sovereignty of our nation. He has some great film clips there with Lou Dobbs. And of course, Lou Dobbs, you know, on CNN, has been talking about this the immigration problem, the plan to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, the security and prosperity, the zone, the Trans-American Highway. So much information, and you'll actually see this Lou Dobbs program there, and then, of course, other information that makes this DVD called World Events and Prophecy. Very, very important. Something I think everybody in the audience is going to want to get. And so, without further ado, Dr. Michael Kaufman, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well, Stan. How about yourself?
We're doing just fine. It's good to have you with us again. So why don't you just sort of pick up the story and tell our listeners what this is all about, what you have discovered in your research, and how we can begin to correlate the things that are transpiring in the world today with the Word of God.
You know, it's very interesting. I have been involved in, of course, world events like you have been over the last 15, 20 years, and was able to, I think, make a connection between the so-called global geopolitics that we're seeing now, as well as what's happening spiritually, through a number of different references. And the thing that occurred to me about 6 months ago, that I need to start putting the two together, especially for the church, because the church is very largely ignorant, as you know, of what is happening in the world as it relates to prophecy. There has been much prophecy fulfilled in the last 100 years that you have mentioned before, but there is even prophecy being fulfilled, I believe, right now in a very, very powerful way. And in this DVD, I've explained four major prophecies that were given either by Daniel in the book of Daniel, or John in the book of Revelation, or both. And that is the world government, the world religion, the 666, or the mark of the beast, and I keep forgetting the fourth, Stan. I can't believe I do that. But there's a fourth one as well that I've always really been very curious about for my Christian experience, and I've tumbled onto these things. You know, it's, you see these things and you say, that's very interesting and it's a very powerful thing, but then I've not done anything with them until now, and now I put it together in a DVD, and we're getting a lot of rave reviews from people that have watched it because it clarifies so many things that they had had questions on in the past. The first one that I did was the Daniel chapter 2 and the statue that that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about that Daniel was able then to interpret for him. And that was the feet of clay. to feed on the 10 toes of clay. And well, the fascinating thing about it was that we saw the Roman Empire, which is the feet and the legs of iron, disintegrate not from outside pressures, but from inside pressures. It broke apart from inside from a number of different standpoints. You can't pinpoint any one thing, but one of the major things was that it absorbed many cultures within its own entity, and that absorption eventually caused this disintegration as the Germanic tribes from the north actually captured Rome and took over the emperorship, breaking down the, basically ending the Roman Empire as we know it. Now, of course, the Byzantine Empire, the other half of the Roman Empire, continued for another several hundred years. But the Roman Empire was terminated because it broke up after it absorbed many cultures without trying to integrate them into one culture. We're doing the same thing today. We're absolutely doing the same thing today, not only within the United States, but globally. And the thing that concerns me is that there's been a number of efforts over the last 30 years to integrate the world, or create this world government that I describe in the DVD, so that it is broken down to what they want to have, 10 different regions, usually financial or economic regions in the world. That was defined by the Club of Rome in the early 1970s, and it's coming true today. We're actually seeing it happen today. There is actually 7, almost 8, that are created right now, and within the last 2 could probably be created within the next couple of years, I would say, maybe even sooner than that, because sometimes you don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. It wasn't until 2005, as you were well aware, that the North American Union, for instance, was finally brought out, and even then it took a while for us to recognize what it really was about. And it's another European Union, or another one of these regions between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And what we'll see as this comes together is not only a world government, but we'll lose our sovereignty. That's an obvious thing. I talk about that, and so does other people that I have video clips on with the within the DVD. Not only do we lose our sovereignty, but it creates this mega global organization that will be extremely powerful, just like Daniel envisioned in Chapter 2.
All right, hold that thought there, Michael. We'll be back here in just a moment as we begin to explore this whole basic idea of building regional trade blocks and uniting them. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest on this evening is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and Dr. Kaufman is simply pointing out that what they are doing today is building regional trade blocks, and we're seeing one in Europe. Now, when the people went into this trade block, they thought they were just going to have free trade and, between the nations of Europe. They did not realize that it was really a plot. It was a plan to secretly put together a European government. And, of course, they didn't realize they were going to lose their national sovereignty. They were going to lose all the everything that made France, France, or Germany, Germany, or England, England. They were lied to by their leaders, who were dedicated to this idea of building a regional government and then eventually merging all the governments together. And we're seeing the same thing here in North America. George Bush has already agreed to do away with our national sovereignty. He's done this unilaterally without either the consent of our legislatures or at the knowledge of the people. And that is the Security and Prosperity Partnership, a stepping stone to the loss of national sovereignty. So while our boys are fighting and dying, supposedly for freedom over there in the Middle East, the truth of the matter is, it is simply a diversion to keep us from seeing that we're losing our freedom at home, a planned program to destroy the integrity of our culture, to create a multicultural, multilingual society so they can play one group against the other, exactly as happened in ancient Rome. Of course, we know what happened to ancient Rome, and the same thing is doomed to happen or destined to happen here, but I believe it's being actually created by our leaders who hate America, whose goal is a one-world government, a new order of the ages. In fact, President Bush talked about that in his second inaugural address. He ends his second inaugural address by saying what our founders declared a new order of the ages. They were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is the ancient hope? It's the new order of the ages. What's that? It is this idea of a world government, and that's exactly what's going on today. And if you put your attention on what's going on in the Middle East, you're missing the fact we are losing our freedom here at home. Go ahead, Dr. Goffman.
And it's one of the things that is really ironical in the process of doing this. Of course, we're giving up our sovereignty, but we're trying to meld together hundreds and hundreds of different cultures from around the world. Here in the North American Union, it's three cultures, the Canadian, the United States, or Mexican. Both the United States and Canada are not that dissimilar. I mean, it could be done. But the culture in Mexico is radically different. The whole government is radically different. It's led by a feudal system down there in which the people have no concept of what it takes to have liberty. They love the effects of liberty. They want to come and enjoy the prosperity that liberty will create and the free markets will create. But they have no knowledge, no understanding whatsoever of what it takes to create those liberties. And as a consequence, we're trying to meld apples and oranges into something, into one, and it cannot be done. And the same true at the global level. We're trying to meld all of these different cultures, all these special interests and so forth into one. And it's one of the things I describe on the video is the fact that you have five major power factions operating in the world today. You've got the Anglo-American faction that you have described on your program and in your book, Stan, the European socialist group that are fighting the tooth and nail, not world government. They all want world government, but they want to be the ones on top. Then you have the Russian Federation, the Chinese, African Union, the Arab League. All of these are major power factions. 9/11 was a response to this, to weaken the Anglo-American faction and bring it into line and hopefully allow the Arabs to come out on top, because one of the goals of radical Islam, of course, is to dominate the entire world. That's their way of doing it. And so we're seeing this power struggle. It's going on all the time under the currents. You don't see it very often. It breaks forward once in a while when you see that many of the European countries don't support us in Iraq. Whether we should be in Iraq or not is another story, but they will never support us. Why? Because they want to weaken us. It's led by France and Germany. All of these little diabolical plots are going on in the background, and it goes right back to Daniel, I believe, Daniel chapter 2, starting with verse 42, where it talks about the 10 toes were partly of iron and partly of clay, and this will be partly strong and partly brittle, and the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. That's what I think was going to ultimately happen. It'll be extremely strong as far as we're concerned, the individuals. We will have no freedom of choice. We'll have to go along or we'll be crushed, just like Daniel says. But at the same time, with all these power factions that operate individually within that group, it's not going to last very long.
All right, well, it's a fascinating thing to contemplate, because if you see what's happening, there should be no question in anybody's mind we're moving towards a major a war in the Middle East, and of course we'll inflame the entire Islamic world against us. This will have disastrous financial consequences here at home. And I really fear for this country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever for the things that this nation has done to other nations throughout the world.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. And as a consequence, I think what we're seeing here is a potential attack on this country that we really don't expect in any way. And as a result, one of the things that always alarms me, Stan, is the fact that the United States, although there are some passages that seem to infer perhaps the United States, there are really no passages in the Bible that talks about a powerful nation far away that tries to intervene on this. We're either right in the middle of it, which is, I think, is what's going to happen, or we're no longer a major power center. It's almost as simple as that. And as a consequence, I think we need to be concerned. We need to be on our knees praying that God would do what he needs to do to save as many people and to stay this as long as it's humanly possible, to help explain this to other people so that they can see the dangers that we're working in. One of the reasons I put the Lou Dobbs clip in on CNN is because CNN is the only liberal news media outlet that I have seen so far that has actually addressed this North American Union and the fact that it's being done totally contradictory to our Constitution and everything else. And he says it so eloquently, I could not help but get permission to put that in. And I think it's really important for people to see that this is real. It's really happening, and it's likely to be put into place by 2010. That's their goal. That's only 4 years away, less than 4 years away.
And, of course, they have to understand that the leaders of both political parties don't believe in our Constitution. They do not believe in America as a nation. They want to mold us together, and certainly they want a two-tiered system of very wealthy people, and then they're going to wipe out the middle class, and everybody else will be living impoverished as they are in Mexico. And that's how they're going to join this together. We're not going to, of course, raise the living standard of the Mexican people. We're going to destroy their middle class and lower the living standards of the people in this country. It's all laid out in the Earth Charter. It's part of a long-range plan. You can read it if you want to, if you want to challenge it. But just look around and see what's happening. And ask yourself, how could our leaders possibly have made as much of a mess out of the Middle East as they have unintentionally? Go ahead, Michael.
Well, that is exactly true. They had to have known what they were doing. They may not have known we'd had the 9/11 attacks. But they did know, and I knew back in 1999, I wrote a newsletter article on it, actually two of them, that described the fact the United States is going to have a major terrorist attack sometime in the next several years. I didn't know how, what or where or how, but I knew it was going to happen, and Osama bin Laden would be behind it. Why? Because we've been supporting Osama bin Laden. And he's the perfect fall guy for what needs to be done to create this new world order in order to have us give up our liberties and a variety of other things. It is so diabolical that it's almost beyond belief, except that is exactly what's happening, because we're dealing with the seat of all diabolical, and that's Satan himself. Satan is behind everything that you're seeing right here, and these people are under control of Satan. And if you don't believe that, you need to get this DVD, because they themselves tell us that.
And I think that's really one of the great strengths of the DVD, Michael, is that you give the references to the writings of Alice Bailey and Foster Bailey and certainly Manly P. Hall and many of the quotations that I use but in my writings, but you had a lot that I didn't have, and I'm indebted to you for them, where people actually admit that they worship Satan.
Yeah, they do. To them, Satan is their God, and God himself is the enemy. Much like what we believe Satan is from a Christian perspective, Satan is the enemy of God. But they believe that God is the enemy of Satan. And we are really in a spiritual war. And that spiritual war, of course, has been going on for thousands of years of human history.
But of course, some of these people are in very, very powerful positions. Some of these people are very wealthy. And what is their goal? To create a one world government for their God, ruled by their God. People say that couldn't be going on. If it was, why, we would hear about it. And I would say, well, why would you think you would hear about it? They control the media. You're not getting the truth over the regular media. And that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day. And that's why Michael, Dr. Kaufman, has put together this excellent video. Actually, it's a DVD, but you need to get it. You actually need to check out his references. We have some of the books, but some of you are going to have to get out your own. They can be tracked down. They can be gotten. You need to read it and find out if it's really true. If it is, ask, why are we being told about it by our religious leaders? Why are we being told about it by our conservative political leaders? That's a very good question to ask. Go ahead, Michael.
It is a very good question, and one of the things that I think we need to recognize that most of our religious leaders are up to their eyeballs in day-to-day trivial matters and don't really have the time. They should, same as you and I, but they don't, neither do you. They do not have the time to dig into this in depth like we have, and as a consequence, they're only going on what they're told in the major media, and they're usually dead wrong.
Certainly that is very, very true, unless maybe there are people like Mr. Ted Haggard, who was ahead of the 30 million member National Association of Evangelicals. Now we just find out today he was writing letters to the senators coming out against prayer in the military, doing everything he could to undermine Christianity while leading the largest evangelical movement in the United States today. Michael, go ahead, pick up the story.
Well, I think you raise a good point. I was not aware that that was been revealed here. I've been out of town and just got back today. But it's not surprising to see some of the key leadership, not only in the Christian realm, but probably certainly in Washington, D.C. and so forth, have been co-opted by this belief system, that they're actually enlisted, and they know that they're enlisted. They know exactly what they're doing. And as a consequence, they are guilty of some of the worst sins that you can possibly imagine. But the majority of our leadership, and I don't say a vast majority, I just say a majority. A majority, maybe it's a simple majority, really don't understand it. They're caught up in their day-to-day affairs. They know if they come out and say something, they're going to be accused of being some sort of a radical or a conspiratist or something of that nature, and as a consequence, they don't want to rock the boat. I can go on ad nauseum. I won't do that, but there's a host of reasons why they are ignorant in this, and one of the responsibilities, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find that it's not just the pastor that's the head of the church. It's the whole body of Christ, and you are part of that body, and you need to be informed, and you can actually help your pastor actually become informed on some of these issues. You have that obligation, you have that responsibility to help other people within your congregation, within your fellowship and so forth, understand what is happening. One of the things that Stan and I have talked about on other broadcasts have been the fact that when things begin to go south, and they will, I don't know when, I have no idea when, but when things start to happen, it's going to be so incredible that many, many Christians are going to be deceived. Why do we know that? Because Jesus himself taught it. He said that many of our brothers and sisters are going to fall away. They're going to be deceived because they do not have true knowledge of Scripture. 30% of the Bible is made up of prophecy. Now, the primary thrust, of course, is to reach out and touch every soul for the hope of Christ. But within that, unless we understand what is actually going on, we could be sucked up into world events like many of our leaders are right now and actually be promoting the agenda of Satan rather than fighting it. And I would not want to face Christ with that kind of a background. And because of my ignorance, I did something that was against what he wanted to do.
Amen. All right, fine. I certainly agree with you. And I think that it's so important that people challenge what Dr. Kaufman is saying. Is it true that there really is a spiritual battle going on between God and Satan? Are there really people in key positions who worship Satan, who sold their souls to the devil, or who even unknowingly serve him? Is it possible that there really is a move to destroy the sovereignty of our country? And the people who talk about are courageous boys going overseas, and they are courageous, and they're going over there to fight for America. At least that's what they're told. But they don't understand we are losing our freedom here at home by a planned program of destroying the sovereignty of our nation. And that is the Security and Prosperity Partnership. For the skeptic, go to their website, www.spp.gov. SPP.gov. Get the material that Dr. Corsi's written, his wonderful book that we carry called Minutemen. And, of course, his articles are up on the Internet and at WorldNet Daily and at the Human Events. And if you get my latest newsletter, why, of course, we list all the things that you need to read to find out if what we're telling you is true. And if it is, then you'll realize that the media is lying to you. And about the only person who's really telling you to be a part of the truth is Lou Dobbs. We'll be right back. Okay, Michael, go right ahead there.
Well, you know, we bring up Lou Dobbs again and the fact that we're forming this North American Union, or the SPP. And I think it's important. I'm not sure why he has been allowed to do this, but he has, and I have to take off my hat to him for standing up, because he says some things in that segment that I have within my DVD that just are incredible, that he would say that on a liberal news outlet. This is something that Fox hasn't picked up. Not that Fox is extremely conservative, but Fox generally will take the lead on something like this, and here it is that CNN is doing it. The thing that we need to recognize is that there is a plan to do exactly what Stan has said. I about interrupted you a few minutes ago, Stan, when you were talking about the feudal system. They basically want to eliminate the middle class and so forth. That's in print. Believe it or not, that's in print. And Stan has that documentation. It's called the Global Biodiversity Assessment. If you need to get that material from him and read it, because in that, it basically says that in order to save planet Earth, we have to reduce the human population down to 1 to 2 billion. That's a two-thirds to three-quarters reduction in the human population. And in the same time, they must reinstill what they call the feudal form of government, where you have two classes. You have the wealthy noblemen and the serfs. And most of us, 95% of the population, would be serfs, serving the upper class. And if you don't understand that, that's where they're taking us. That's what was in this United Nations document. This is what we need to understand, is this is where we're headed. And this is exactly the way they want to exert control over you and I in this process of globalization, is to turn us basically into serfs. Now, in the process of doing that, they have basically desensitized us. They've given us all of, in fact, again, this was in print, back in the 1970s, they want to basically have a circus for us. We have all the football games, the basketball games, the, you know, all kinds of entertainment. None of this is bad. I'm not saying that it's bad, but when all your focus is on having a good time, you're not paying attention to what's going on behind the scenes, and they are closing the trap on us right now. It's not too late. The one thing that I have always come back to is that God used us to stop the biodiversity treaty back, there's just four of us, stopped a multi-billion dollar treaty right dead in its tracks in the U.S. Senate an hour before it was to be ratified. That was not us. We were just merely its God's instruments. It was God that did it, but he used us, and he can use you too. No person is too insignificant for God to use.
Let me just, for our listeners, the Biodiversity Treaty came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992. It was devised by the most wealthy and powerful men in the world, led by Prince Charles and, of course, Al Gore, and many of the leading bankers and corporate executives. And they had a meeting on the Prince Charles's yacht, the Britannia, before the Second Earth Summit meeting in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, and they laid out a plan for the Kyoto Protocol, for the Desertification Treaty, and for the Biodiversity Treaty. And this was going to simply transform our society, put half of the nation, half of our entire property into a wilderness area, and a quarter in areas where people could go into, but they couldn't live there, and then bunch everybody else into sustainable communities. It's the most incredible idea, and here it was going before the Senate. The senators had read it. They had no idea what they were going to be voting on, but they were being pressured. Powerful, powerful people, the most powerful people in the world, to pass the Biodiversity Treaty, and Dr. Kaufman and three other people went there to Washington, D.C., and actually got the information out on the floor of the Senate and defeated the Biodiversity Treaty. And even though Bill Clinton had signed it, was implementing it, it is not the law of our land. And had it not been for Dr. Kaufman and their efforts, why, it would be the law of our land. And you've never heard this amazing story of how four people defeated a multi-billion dollar effort by the most powerful men in the world to pass that treaty. That is an amazing story, Michael.
It is an amazing story, but you know, Psalms 2 makes it very clear that all the kings and so forth of the world, we know them as prime ministers and so forth now, but all the kings in the world can conspire against God, but if it's not God's timing, it's not going to happen. And yeah, he used us. And he can use you too. And that's the key thing to remember. I went to the Johannesburg World Summit on Sustainable Development in 2002. Now, I was not directly involved in this, but there were well over 100 of us in Johannesburg. There was just four of us to stop that treaty. But there were over 100 of us working with the U.S. State Department and the delegation to that United Nations meeting.
That was in 2002, right?
That was in 2002. We'll pick up the theme after the break.
And, of course, this is an amazing story because they wanted to ratify the Earth Charter. The Earth Charter is to replace the Ten Commandments. That's what Mikhail Gorbachev and Marie Strong and Stephen Rockefeller said. Ten Commandments are out of style. Let's have a new Ten Commandments. We'll call it the Earth Charter, and you'll learn what happened when we get back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Michael, why don't you go ahead and pick up the story there?
Well, we were at the Earth Summit, and the Earth Summit is what it was called, but it's the World Summit on Sustainable Development was its official name. And we were able to convince the U.S. State Department that this Earth Charter was very, very dangerous. They had actually brought it out in 1992 at the second Earth Summit. The 2002 was the third Earth Summit. The second Earth Summit, but it was so blatantly pantheistic that nations would not sign on to it. It basically started out with the belief that the Earth is a living, sentient being. And this is what they believe. You have to understand and read their literature to believe, to understand what they really believe in. Many of them believe that the Earth is alive, truly alive. If you've heard of the Gaia hypothesis, that's the essence of it. And because of that, it was sent back to Mikhail Gorbachev and Marie Strong to sanitize over the next 10 years. And they came out with a document in 2000 that was pretty much satisfied. It still talked about the living Earth as reflecting in the animals and the plant life and so forth, but underneath it was still this current of pantheism, the old age-old belief that Earth itself, nature itself, is God. That's what was always influencing Israel during the Old Testament days, Baalism and all the rest. And we're seeing it reemerge now at the global level. And they hope to have this ratified by consensus by all the attending people, all the attending nations at this World Summit on Sustainable Development. And we got the State Department to withdraw that language out of the consensus document at about 2 o'clock in the morning that the consensus document was accepted. It came within several hours, again, of actually becoming the world religion. Now, they called it a world ethics system, but it was really the world religion. And what was in the wings, what nobody really understands, is that there was an international treaty called the Covenant on Environment and Development that was waiting in the wings. As soon as this was sanctioned by the United Nations, the Earth Charter itself does not have any legal teeth to it. It would become the world of religion, but it could not force anybody to do anything. But this new covenant on the environment and development would have. It would have literally put the teeth behind the Earth Charter and forced every single human being on planet Earth to ascribe to this belief system, including our pastors and our churches. That's how close we came to having the world religion. Now, eventually the Bible says it's going to happen. We don't know when. But you and I, by getting information out and helping other people in your fellowship...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Dr. Kaufman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael was just saying that there it was at the Earth Summit meeting. It was actually the fourth Earth Summit meeting. It was held in 2002 in Johannesburg, and they were going to, of course, get the Earth Charter ratified by consensus by all the nations of the world. Now, this was the new religion, according to Mikhail Gorbachev and Marie Strong. This was to be the new Ten Commandments, and of course, the document is kept in something called the Ark of Hope, which is a Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. Incidentally, the DVD that Dr. Kaufman has prepared has excellent pictures of all this and tells you the whole story. And here it is, the most powerful people in the world. I mean, certainly Gorbachev has the complete support of the whole world communist movement behind him and the support of most of the leaders here in this country. And if you've never seen who goes to Gorbachev's State of the World Forum, why, you can ask us. We'll send you the papers that came out, I think, from the 1995 meetings, and there were ex-presidents and all of the key players in this whole globalist movement paying homage to that great leader, Mikhail Gorbachev. And, of course, then the Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, a member of the most powerful and wealthy family in America and probably one of the two most powerful families in the entire world. And it was their document. It is going to be ratified, and there at the last minute, Dr. Kaufman and a group of other Americans and people throughout the world were able to get the United States State Department not to go along with it. And this document, this Earth Charter, which of course is a prelude to a world religion, failed there at that summit meeting. That was the most amazing thing, Michael.
Yes, it was, and very few people understand the enormity of what happened right there and delayed this whole agenda for I don't know how many years. We'll find out eventually, I'm sure, but it delayed the advent of the world religion. We could have actually implemented the world religion. We wouldn't really feel the effects yet, but it wouldn't be very long before we started to feel the effects of what this new covenant on the environment and development would have caused us to do, because it would have taken us back at least 100 years in our relationship and how we actually extract minerals and wealth from the ground and so forth, because we could no longer do those sorts of things because they might hurt Mother Earth. And as a consequence, we would be thrown back 100 years or more into our standard of living.
Michael, that sounds so ridiculous to our listeners out there.
It is.
Unless they understand that it's all written out. It's in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report published by Cambridge University. We've summarized that in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. Understand, these people have an entirely different worldview.
They do.
They are so smart. They have no idea what the world's all about, but they have a different worldview. They actually worship a different God, and they want to destroy Western Christian civilization. They want to take us back to the way the world was before the wicked white man came to America. And you say, that's crazy talk. Well, that's crazy talk to you and I, but not to them. You need to read what they say, and we actually have it all documented. Find out if we're telling you the truth, because we are. That we need your help, Dr. Kaufman and I, and the small band of people are trying to educate the American people. So pick up the story there, Michael.
It is true, and one of the things that can be done, Stan, is not only to educate yourself, but to use some of this material to educate others. Don't just come in and say, you've got to believe it my way. They need to be convinced the same way that you needed to be convinced over a period of months. And I have designed this DVD in a way that is hopefully not offensive. It's not so radical that it'll turn people off. You can actually take it into your Sunday school room and play it over a couple of weeks, because it is an hour and 20 minutes long, to show what is happening. And I don't do anything that I don't have support from their own documentations to show exactly what is happening and what they believe in. Because when you begin to understand what they truly believe and why they're doing it, all of a sudden, a lot of things that were confusing to you in the past are going to start snapping into focus. And that's one of the biggest compliments that I think we've gotten over the years, and with this DVD just recently, is the fact that all of a sudden you started to see words being used in the evening news or stories going on that would have made no sense, because you didn't have the context to understand it before, and now you do.
Well, I think it's very well done, and I certainly the quotations that you have and the material you've amassed is something I think that anybody who is concerned about what's going on is concerned about their children and their grandchildren and what sort of world they're going to live in has to have this information, and hopefully it will motivate them to get involved in this truly spiritual battle in which we're engaged. A spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, because there really are people who would destroy it. They've been working very hard in America. They've taken God and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and now they're working on getting God and prayer out of the military. But they want to really remove every fragment of Christianity. They've infiltrated our churches, and many of our leaders have changed the music and the message of the church, and many of our church services sound more like a rock concert than a Christian service. Not happening by accident. It's all carefully planned. They know exactly what they're doing. Little bit by little bit, they erode the very foundation of what was once Christian America. So pick up the story there, Michael. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the writings of Foster Bailey or Alice Bailey, and explain who these people are and why their writings are so very, very important.
One of the things that really is behind this from the religious standpoint is what is known as theosophy. It is one of the variants of the mystic religions. Actually, it's a combination of all the mystic religions, both Eastern and Western mysticism. And it was started by a person by the name of Madame Helena Blavatsky back, I believe, in the 1800s, if I remember my dates right.
About 1871 or 1872, somewhere in there.
Yes.
Maybe it was 1875, but that's when Helena Petrovna Blavatsky actually created the Theosophical Society.
And there's, you know, like anything else, there are good aspects to it, but fundamentally it's the idea that Satan is God that's behind what she wanted to do. And in fact, Hitler picked up a lot. Hitler was one of her disciples back in World War II. It's one of the reasons he launched such a vicious attack against the Jews, because it's Blavatsky's interpretation of what she was told by these ascended masters, that the Jewish people were finished. They were no longer part of history, and they needed to be dispensed with. And that goes on. It shows the danger of what happens when you have these secretive, esoteric religions.
And of course, they also hate the blacks, so it's not just the Jews they hate. They
no,
hate
it's
the
not
blacks.
Just the Jews. Yeah. There are many segments of our world population that would be targeted directly if they really came into power.
Well, they are being targeted. I just got a letter from a friend of mine who was with me when I was in South Africa. He just went back. He said that, I mean, they can't really find space for all the cemeteries they need to bury all the blacks who are dying of AIDS. And, of course, this disease is specifically targeted at the blacks. I mean, in America, why, the majority of the new AIDS cases are in blacks in America. And in Botswana, 46% of all pregnant women who are tested for HIV are infected, and they're all going to die. That's either a very successful genocidal policy or a failed public health policy. If it was a failed public health policy, you would think they'd change the policy, but they're going to maintain it. No,
yes,
I believe that these programs are already well underway today.
Yes, that's a very good point, Stan. I don't get into that in the DVD, but nonetheless, you're absolutely correct. And one of her students, later on in the early 20th century, was a person by the name of Alice Bailey, who came to the United States and started what she called Lucifer Trust in the 1920s, early 1920s. Well, obviously in the 1920s, we're still very much a Christian nation, or at least had a Christian perspective. And an organization called Lucifer Trust didn't go over very well, so she changed the name to Lucas Trust. And she kind of went underground, and she basically was targeting primarily the movers and the shakers of this country. They were the ones that she really, really got a hold of, like the Rockefeller family and so forth. And through that power and so forth, she began to exert her will. She wrote, I think, 24, maybe 26 books, not by herself, she says, but she was just automatically writing through or because of her ascended master by the name of Dual Call. Now, she was channeling this, in other words. And we would, as a Christian, would look at that as being demon-possessed. That's what was happening to her when she was writing these books. I have no doubt that she was under some sort of a demonic control at that particular point when she was writing these books. And as a consequence, what you're seeing here is actually a whole set of books that are being written by either a demon or a series of demons. Who cares? The fact is, it's a very occult set of writings. If you read this, if you get these books to check out what I have actually put down here in this DVD, what you'll find is that they're extremely hard to read because they're so disjointed. If you've ever seen any clips from Adolf Hitler in his speeches and so forth, inflaming the thousands of people that were listening to him, you can't make much sense of what he's saying, because I really do believe that he was under demonic influence at that particular point in time. They're hard to read, but if you stick at it long enough, through prayer, always going through prayer, you'll begin to start making sense out of it. And one of the things she talks about, of course, is the mark of the beast. And I'm not seeing this anywhere else. And yet, it's right there in black and white. She labels and identifies what the mark of the beast is, and of course she does it in a very positive way.
Because she thinks it's great. She thinks that the figures 666 are really great figures. These people have a different world perspective. And of course, Michael just shows you where in her book she writes about all of these things. And that's really the very, very great strength of this, because he'll show you where these things are, and then he'll tell you what they say. And you could spend years going through all of this material yourself. He's just going to shortchange that, so you can actually find out where these things are, pick up the books and read them, and determine for yourself if this incredible, incredible story could be true.
It is it's a very interesting thing, because she gives a number and a name, just like John said in the book of Revelation, that the mark of the beast is a number and a name, And she proceeds to do exactly that in these occult writings. It's quite a fascinating thing. And she basically says the sixes are the culmination of mankind as it begins to merge into godhood. That's what the whole 666 thing is about. And it's fascinating, and you have to, of course, get the DVD to really get into it. But it really, I think, you know, I could be wrong. This may not be what the 666 is at all, but yet it fits exactly what John talked about in the book of Revelation in chapter 13. And at the same time, we now have the technology to keep each person or to control the buying and the selling of every single individual on planet Earth. And I go into the technology and give video clips and so forth on that technology to show how it could actually be implemented, not some 50 years in the future or 100 years in the future, next year. That's how close we are, or potentially close we are.
And they, for the first time in all recorded history, with the electronic system that we have, why, you would either be able to buy or sell. Yes, you wear the mark of the beast. You can go down and I buy my gasoline at the gasoline station. I take my card out. I zip it on through the little slide there, and I get my gasoline. And, of course, it's just automatically billed. I can go to the grocery store, the hardware store. We have basically a totally electronic economy. And, of course, now, of course, you're allowed to use money. But what happens when the time comes you're not allowed to use money, where everything is electronic? And if you don't have a number, you're not going to be able to get anything at all. Could this really happen? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is long-term planning.
Yes.
The people in the occult have known this all along, exactly what was going to happen. And there's never been a time in history where those prophecies of John that wrote when he was on Patmos, there was never a time in history where this could really become a reality. And there was never a time in history when the Jews had not returned to the Holy Land. A lot of people say, oh, that has nothing to do with anything. Well, certainly this was prophesied a long time ago. I don't know of any other race after 2,000 years that ever returned to the place they came from, and most of the Jews don't even believe in the Jewish religion. They're just there. But they've been drawn, they've been attracted there, drawn almost as if they had no control over it, and staying in a land, a hostile land, that is on the brink of simply going into a major war where most of them may very well be killed. But I believe God does have a plan, don't you, Michael?
Absolutely. In fact, he spells it out in the Bible. I don't cover it on this particular DVD, but I teach an 11-week course on prophecy, and he spells out exactly the fact that one of these days, when it was being written, one of these days in the future, he was going to bring back his people, Israel. They would not believe in him at the time he brought them back. In other words, and that's exactly what you just said, Stan, and you're absolutely right. The vast majority of Jews living in Israel right now are not Judaists. They don't believe in Judaism. They don't believe in the Old Testament. They just are there as a people. And he said that there will be a time, yet future, when God will start to move, and they will see him for who he is, and they will turn to him. That hasn't happened yet, but it's in the process. And what had to happen first, of course, is that they had to come home. They had to be brought home and being put in this pressure cooker that God said he was going to put them in, to finally get them to see who he really was, who God really was.
You're absolutely right. And all of these things are just coming into place. We are living in the most exciting and most dangerous, most frightening times. And this, if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord, let me suggest that you begin exploring the things we're talking about. I came to a personal faith with Jesus Christ because I realized there was evil in the world, and that is what brought me searching for God. And I hope that if many of you out there would certainly want to do the same thing, if you'd like to talk to Dr. Kaufman or myself, Michael, why don't you get your telephone number out, how people can get in touch with your ministry if they'd like to.
Okay, it's two numbers. 207-945-9878 is our office number. 207-945-9878. And we also have an 800 number, which is 877-271-7639. Our website is discerningtoday.org. www.discerningtoday.org.
All right, fine. Somebody, one of our callers, just called in and said that if you go to Wikipedia and look up the Gaia hypothesis, Gaia being Mother Earth, there's a very good explanation of it. And, of course, this is the whole idea, this pagan belief that the Earth itself is a living thing, part of the goddess. These people don't worship the god, they worship the goddess. And you say, what in heaven's name are they thinking? Well, you really need to, because you don't want to get too far into this, because some people get into it, they begin to believe it. It's very, very simple to believe the Bible, and that God said exactly what is going to take place in these latter days. And it's all in the prophecies, which are so beautifully covered in this DVD, World Events and Prophecy. Dr. Kaufman has put it out. I think you'll find it fascinating. We certainly enjoyed it, watching it all the way through. And I think our listeners will as well. You'll learn a lot, and hopefully maybe even begin to realize that you're going to have a personal relationship with our Lord. Well, Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, one of the things that I've always liked to encourage your listeners, Stan, is the fact that the war that we're fighting is not with the person, flesh and blood, that you're seeing out there. It's not the acts of Congress. It's not the battles that are going on in Iraq right now. They have to be addressed. I'm not saying that you can ignore them. But the real battle is always at the spiritual level, because we're fighting the principle of all evil, and that's Satan himself. He is the one that's causing and stirring up all these problems that we're having to then face in the physical world. And one of the things that I would always like to leave our listeners with the impression of is that the fact is that your prayer life is probably the most important weapon that you will have in confronting this evil. And once you begin to pray about how God wants to use you in this process, because God hates evil. And if he hates evil, we should hate it too, and be used as one of his instruments. Find out how you can be used. It may be just to share with your friends and neighbors in a very non-threatening way. If you start getting upset and angry with your friends and neighbors because they don't believe you, then you've lost the battle. You need to just say, well, this is what I've come to realize, and move into it. If you can, show them some of the literature that you have there, Stan, or my DVD, or whatever the case might be. Then use that, because I've designed this DVD to be used by people who are very skeptical, to help them to begin to question what they're seeing going on in the world today. And this North American Union is a very, very powerful example of how they're using this whole process to create a world government. The five power factions, when you begin to see that, you'll see that on the evening news all the time, whereas before you really didn't recognize it. All of these things are dealing with events that are happening right now that are reflective of prophecy that was written thousands of years ago. And when convinced Christians, as well as non-Christians, and hopefully as Stan has said, will actually begin them to get them to start actually questioning their own beliefs, and hopefully then can be led to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so very much, Dr. Our guest this evening has been Dr. Michael Kaufman. Always a pleasure having you with us, and we'll look to having you back again sometime real soon.
Well, thank you.
Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you either the end of this week or next week.
Yes, very good.
Good night. God bless you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And this is Dr. Stan. That's, of course, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who's done a great job of putting together a fascinating DVD. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I really need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're really dependent on those of you who listen to our program, who believe that there is a problem, who would be willing to partner with us in our efforts 5 hours every day on almost 60 outlets every week to try to wake people up to what's going on. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We carry the DVD that we're talking about tonight. It's called World Events and Prophecy. And the material on here is outstanding, and certainly the interview with Lou Dobbs and the other interviews that they have that have been taken off of the news are so revealing about the chips that they're injecting into people today. Tracking chips. This is not happening by accident. This is very real. The technology is there to control every single person in the world and to number every single person in the world. And then, of course, if you'd really like to get into the background of this, you can get the DVD from us by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand the Security and Prosperity Partnership, why we have, of course, the book by Dr. Corsi, and it's entitled Minuteman. We have two new four-tape sets on globalism, and you can simply call our 800 number and ask about those. We have a great four-tape set on immigration. We have a DVD on immigration entitled The Conquest of Aslan. And then we have another book on this whole fact that they're not trying to close our borders. They're not trying to stop the immigration. It's all showbiz. They want massive immigration because they want to change the social structure of our society and create a multicultural, multilingual society and civilian unrest, and then they can move in the military to declare a dictatorship. And if you doubt that, even Liberal Senator Patrick Leahy of Connecticut recently said that the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act and the Military Commission Act are a blueprint for dictatorship. And if you want the quotation, we can get it for you. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that everything is in place for a dictatorship. If you'd like to understand the Earth Charter, we will be glad to send you a free copy of that, but we hope that you'll want to get our Sustainable Development Syllabus. You can get that by itself or along with the VHS that we have on that. And of course, Sustainable Development Syllabus has the Earth Charter in it. It has all the material on global biodiversity, has the material on population control. Ladies and gentlemen, they really do intend to kill off 90% of the world's population. They're already in the process of doing it in Africa. If they could do it there, why not here? And you say, I don't believe that anything would be like that. Well, you have to read what they say, not what I say. You need to read what Jacques Cousteau said about the necessity of eliminating 365,000 people a day. 365,000 people a day. And if he said that, why, he would make Adolf Hitler a piker. If he said that, why haven't we heard it? And it's because the media is controlled, and that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day. If you want to get the material we're talking about, the Sustainable Development Syllabus and or the VHS that goes with that, the book Minuteman by Dr. Corsi that tells you most of what we're talking about, the new four-tape sets on, of course, the globalism, and this has to do with the program of immigration, our four-tape sets on immigration, certainly our DVD, The Conquest of Aslan, but if you're going to get one thing, get Dr. Michael Kaufman's World Events and Prophecy. It will be an excellent addition to what's going on. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Because we truly are on the front lines of the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with a second hour of our evening program. Don't even think about changing the dial. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our special guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom, who, of course, supports Radio Liberty, and we support her because we think that she does a great job, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the new things that are coming up as far as the as far as finances are concerned. And certainly, you know, it's amazing. It's almost as if somebody has pulled a switch here in the Monterey Bay area where I live. Why, it's just been announced, and I've had this confirmed from several sources, that all sorts of people have put in, deposits to buy expensive homes, and of course they're waiting for the deal to go through escrow, suddenly are walking away and leaving their deposits behind, sometimes $10,000 or $20,000, and they're just giving it up because they're not going to buy those homes. They're uncertain. And of course many of the contractors that ordinarily are very, very busy are suddenly just not seeing much of any response. People have said they start, ordering jobs that would ordinarily be done. We're going to redo the kitchen, we're going to redo the bathroom, but people suddenly don't want to be spending the money. Now, we have certainly been spending money like a drunken sailor in this country for the last 20 or 30 years, as if there is no tomorrow. Most countries in the world, the people have savings. Here in the United States, we have a negative savings rate. And most people are living, or many people are living, and they're living very well by borrowing money on the value of their homes. And isn't it wonderful? You keep financing, you're refinancing your home as the price goes up, as the value of the home goes up. But what happens when the value of the home turns down? And in some areas of the country, it's already started. Certainly, the new home construction is shrinking rapidly. But even more than that, about 10% of our gross domestic product is home construction. And the bottom has fallen out of the home construction business, and it's going to fall out even more. And, of course, so many of the jobs then are built upon that 10%. So we might even be talking at 20 or 30% of our gross domestic product is directly tied into the housing industry, and the housing industry is beginning to contract. Melody, what do you see happening back where you are?
Well, we see a lot of the same. I'm in an area where there's a university. Penn State is here in Happy Valley, central Pennsylvania. So we see a little bit of a different real estate market. The homes are on the market longer. You see some prices being reduced. But there's still a lot of homes, when I check the papers and so forth, that are still totally overpriced. It seems like there's a higher value home that is coming onto the market that seems to take up most of the pages in the newspaper when they come out every week. But then again, they know it's easier to sell a smaller home or a less expensive home, so they don't even advertise those because those are the ones that go more quickly. But we are seeing, so with the houses on the market longer, we are seeing the demand fall slowly, not as quickly as some areas to where there was, perhaps some manufacturing that left the area. We did have Corning that left the area about a year and a half ago, but the state does funnel a lot of money into this area because of the university. So, they do take care of this area a little bit.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I think every part of the country is really going to be different, but overall, certainly in the areas where they've been producing cars in the north, in Detroit, Detroit, of course, once a vibrant city, was a center for automobile production, is really beginning to fall into, the sort of a situation of a third country, predominantly a Muslim population. The jobs just aren't there. The minarets are broadcasting their call to worship on a regular basis, and at least some people in that part of the country already are very disturbed about the future, and they wonder if there really is going to be a future for them here in America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. We're talking with Melody Cederstrom about what's going on, and certainly here in this last week and a half, why Joseph Stiglitz, Professor Stiglitz, who is certainly a Nobel Prize-winning economist, has been interviewed on a couple of programs and has said that he thinks that within a year to 2 years, if things are not managed adequately, there could be a worldwide recession. And certainly we hear Paul Volcker, Robert Rubin, echoing that warning. Richard Russell, of course, the icon of conservative stockbrokers. In fact, you can see the Russell Index there, up there, you know, on MSNBC. They goes by and they will tell you what his evaluation is. You know, he's been in this stock market business for, I guess, 50 or more years, probably 60 years. He's in his 80s now. But he's anticipating we're going to have some terrible economic problems. So I don't think the average individual really believes that. Do you, Melody?
No, I don't think they believe it. I mean, if you look at the... this country's had it pretty easy, you know, over these past... 40, 50 years, and so it seems like there's been times when we've had recessions over those years that a lot of people weren't affected, a lot of people were, but Americans do have short memories if they were affected, and when we look at the, they're not, you know, they've been surviving through their mortgages, they've been surviving through their equity loans. And they're not going to be able to survive over it. They're not going to be able to survive much longer. In Bob Chapman's note, he had over the next 18 months more than $2 trillion of these mortgages will be repriced and new monthly payments will be 25 to 100% higher. People don't have the jobs in order to pay that 25 to 100% higher. And you mentioned Detroit. You have Detroit where the foreclosures lead this nation. And I've had clients in Indianapolis that I reported previously that they were out of the country and they came back after a year and a half and they couldn't believe the changes in their town where they had businesses boarded up, where they had homes boarded up. And if you don't live in that type of area, you just don't relate to it. They saw grocery stores where they didn't have as much fresh produce as they usually did, and certainly before they left the country and came back. So they were very shocked at the changes that they saw in their town.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Melody Cederstrom. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and is Melody Cederstrom. She's just talking about what she senses is going on across America, and I do too. And I hate to be a person that is simply is a downer, but I think somebody has to sound the alarm. They are doing everything they can to tell the American people how great things are. The economy is great. Unemployment is down. Inflation is down. There's nothing to worry about. Well, of course, the trouble is they're lying. Unemployment is probably true to at least twice what they say. Inflation is much greater than they're telling you, and they're simply rigging the figures. Figures don't lie, but liars can figure very effectively, and anybody who believes the figures being put out at the current time probably believes everything that they're being told, that Pat Tillman, soldier who gave up a $3 million contract playing football to go fight for America, died killing off the enemy and, of course, courageously risking his life for all his friends. And the truth of the matter, he was killed by his own men. And, of course, Jessica Lynch, the courageous woman over there fighting until the last bullet was gone, you know, and wounded and badly wounded. Trouble was there was no truth at all to any of these stories. But then, as they say, in war, the first casualty is truth. But unfortunately, in economics, the first casualty is truth, too, because they cannot let the American people know that we're on the very brink of a serious economic contraction that will have disastrous effects on the majority of the people listening to this program. Our telephone number, of course, if you would like to call in, you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-800-464-8295. And Melody, you were talking about the friends of yours who had come back to Indiana after being gone a year and a half, and they couldn't believe what had happened to their town. Pick up the story.
No, they couldn't. And the town that they were from, there was a Chrysler plant that employed a lot of the people in the area. And, of course, we know what happened to the Chrysler plant. It was closed down, and so, therefore, these people didn't have jobs. There was no place to go. And you have the multiplier effect. You know, when you have those people unemployed, that it trickles down, and it affects many, many more people. So she says, you know, there was homes. She says she saw it happening, the early after the dot-com burst, when that busted, and then the mortgage rates came down, and there was an urgency to buy homes because they were enticed by the lowering of the mortgage rate. She said she saw the boats, she saw the ATVs, she saw everybody had them in their driveway, and she says, you know, these were all middle-class families that worked hard, that believed that Chrysler would always be there and they would always have a job. And so, you know, you can't trust and you can't believe what they, you know, you can't believe that they'll always be there. And you do have to take control and make some decisions and plan for when these things are no longer there.
And, of course, I think we're going to see a dramatic change in every manufacturing job in America, but it's not just the manufacturing jobs. I'm constantly getting calls from people who want to check my background. They want to send me a free magazine, and it's obviously that they're calling from India. Increasingly, our engineering jobs are going overseas. Increasingly, our architectural jobs are going overseas. Even many of our medical jobs are going overseas, and they're actually digitally sending X-ray reports and CT scans and MRIs over to India or Thailand or someplace else to get them read, because they can get them read there for a fraction of what they can get them read for here, instead of having to pay an American radiologist a couple of $100,000 a year. They can pay somebody over there, maybe $10,000 a year. And then they get the report back, and they just go right ahead. And I think we're going to begin seeing every aspect of our economy altered, and more of our jobs are being outsourced. And, of course, they're allowing large numbers of people to come in with these special visas to compete with Americans for American jobs, and they'll work for half the price. And so I think we're going to be progressively seeing the living standards of the average American go down. If those people are in debt, they got certainly an expensive car that they really couldn't afford, but they wanted it, and they have an expensive house, and now they're going to do away with the adjustable rate mortgage, and they're going to have to pay a much higher fixed rate. And I think a lot of these people are in trouble. What about you, Melody?
I think so, too, and you mentioned about our jobs being outsourced. I don't know which is more irritating, that or even our government jobs are being outsourced, and our taxes that we pay are paying for people that work in other countries. I believe the IRS is one of the areas, and I believe there's an area, food stamps, I believe, was one area that a lot of the servicing was given somewhere outside of this country. And what's the most bizarre, Dr. Stan, is as our jobs are leaving, you have towns across this country that are trying to bring in outside foreigners to come in to open manufacturing. I mean, we've had, I believe there's a plant being built up north in the Midwest. I don't know if it's in Detroit, Toyota. Toyota just opened up another plant down in Texas to produce their larger size trucks. And so we're insourcing foreign companies. We're giving them all kinds of breaks and tax breaks and, you know, free land and free this to get them over here. And it's just, people should be totally outraged, but there is no outrage anymore. I just think people out there are very unhappy. They don't know what's going on. And I think they've put their blinders on. They don't want to know what's going on. And they'll just straggle along until things occur that force them to open their eyes and to see what's going on and to make the changes in their lifestyles.
Amen to that. Well, here's our telephone number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And right now we have Mike calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hi, Stan. You know, it really just seems like our wonderful President Bush should tell us what's going on. Then we wouldn't be so confused.
Well, of course, the thing is that the last thing they want is for the American people to realize how bad things were. Of course, they lied when we were going into the election because they wanted everybody to think things were fine so they'd vote for the Republicans. But, of course, the truth of the matter is that they're not good, and the unemployment is much higher, we're told. The inflation is much higher, and they're playing with these figures on the gross domestic product. And what is the gross domestic product? It doesn't have anything to do with manufacturing. Our manufacturing jobs are all leaving America. Well, did you have anything else you wanted
to say? Well, yeah, when I had the call when you started talking about how the medical services were being outsourced to India.
Right.
And how things are really going to be changing around here in the States. Well, you might remember our conversation not long ago. Not just your x-rays and things are being outsourced, but they're sending the whole patient now to India.
I know. Yeah. Or Thailand or someplace else,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
Even south of the border. And because they have very, very good doctors down there, and they can get care for there for half to a quarter of what they're paying here in the United States. And the level of medical care is going up in those other countries and progressively going down here in America because of government interference in the healthcare delivery system.
Well, I just think the average American has to think about whether or not he wants to go over to New Delhi for heart surgery. And suppose something goes wrong and they have to stay a little longer or they take a turn for the horse and you want to die there? Or, you know, how are your family how's your family going to be with you? You know, it could be great when things work out well. Some of these stories tell about how well they get a vacation out of it, and one couple went and visited the Taj Mahal in the course of it all. And that's very nice, but there's a downside to it.
There certainly is. Anything else, Mike?
Yeah, that's all, thanks.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Melody, do you have any thoughts on what Mike was saying?
No, you know, a lot of these countries anymore, their education is so much greater than ours. They have the requirements. They're producing higher educated, higher level of engineers and doctors and the care. When I hate to say it, but the care outside of this country, I believe, is becoming better and better and with less expensive. And it's sad that we have to be to that extreme that they have to ship patients to other countries.
Well, of course, the trouble is, of course, that all of the requirements for all of the paperwork, the nurses aren't taking care of the patients. They're doing the paperwork. They're doing all this extensive, all sorts of foolishness, of course, burdened upon them by government regulations. There was a time when, of course, you had nurses' aides on the ward. You could get good care. You got a back rub at night. Your chances of getting a back rub in any American hospital today is about as good as winning the lottery.
Well, maybe for $500 you might get one, but...
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you can pay up to $5,000 a day for a hospital room in the United States and not even get a meal.
That's
and
true.
I know because I've done it. Anyway, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY and 464-8295. And the problem is not the health care delivery system. It is the government interference in the health care delivery system that took health care and hospitals away from big places, that you took care of people because you wanted to take care of them because that was your Christian obligation. That turning them into businesses where we'll have competition to drive the price down. Competition is going to drive the price down. Well, what's it done? It's done exactly the opposite. It's just like, you remember when they were going to deregulate electricity here in the United States? We were going to deregulate electricity to drive the price of electricity down. And what happened? Why, of course, everybody knows. It doubled and tripled and some places quadrupled. Well, Ray, are you calling from Santa Cruz?
Yeah,
how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I want to say that I think one of the problems is these CEOs and corporate, you know, executives and the board of directors of companies too. I'm not leaving them out, but they're hired to, their sole function is to cut costs. So they consider the worker to be a cost, and so they want to cut workers. And so they want to, you know, outsource our jobs and, you know, have cheaper labor and, you know, it only makes sense, but it's destroying the country. So what can be done?
We need moral people. Ray, we need people who have a sense of responsibility towards their workers and towards the community. And we don't have that. You see, why, they're going to have to just move their factory right over there to China, where we can hire people, you know, for $4 or $5 a day, and no environmental restrictions, no disability payments. We don't have to worry about pensions. We don't have to worry about health care costs. And, of course, we're going to make a lot more profit. And, boy, as the head of this corporation, I'm going to make a lot more money. But what about your responsibility as an American? Well, that's gone out the window because our corporations are no longer American corporations. They're global corporations. And we're in real trouble because we've lost the moral foundation and cohesiveness that once made this a great nation. What are your thoughts, Melody? How would you respond to Ray?
Well, I agree. I mean, the responsibilities are directly to the shareholders. And there's so much corruptness, there's so much fraud in businesses anymore. We are globalized, and until someone makes a stand, and until things change and tariffs are replaced, and there's a definite drive to bring markets back into this country, we're going to continue to be globalized. There's a lot of people that believe that we're past the point of no return, and we better get used to globalism. And,
we better get this used to the fact we're going to have a two-class system,
the
very wealthy, and then, of course, the great masses of poor and impoverished people. That's exactly what they want, because poor and impoverished people are much easier to control. Now, especially because they passed legislation that will allow them to use the military against the American people and repeal the Posse Comitatus Act. Anything else, Ray?
Yeah, I had one more thing. I left Hewlett-Packard 14 years ago. I worked at Hewlett-Packard for a period of time from 1978 to 1992. What happened, it was a good thing, actually, that I left Hewlett-Packard, because in the year 2000, they laid off entire divisions of people. I'm talking about managers, everything. They got rid of all the manufacturing at HP, almost. Almost all of it. And this is basically in the Trimble Road facility that they had, they got rid of all the manufacturing, period.
No, but of course they didn't.
And the R&D, too.
They didn't get rid of all the manufacturing, they just moved it elsewhere.
What I mean is that they got rid of it in San Jose.
Sure, and of course they moved a lot of that overseas.
Yeah.
And of course, because it can be done a lot more cheaply there, and they can get good labor over there. And to get it done in China, why, you get quality control, because if you make a mistake, why, you go off to prison or be, done away with. When you're dealing with an authoritarian government, you get all sorts of benefits if you transfer your business over there.
Well, you know, and Carly Fiorina, who was in charge of HP during the 90s,
hold that thought for just a moment, Ray. We'll be right back here. Okay, Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, Carly Fiorina was in charge of HP during the late 90s, and I guess up until about 2000-something. But she ruined that company. I don't like to accuse people of anything too often, but I really believe that she ruined that company, and she's responsible for all those layoffs. And look at what she's doing now. She's selling her book for millions of dollars. She's out there hawking her book, and it really makes me mad.
Okay, I don't blame you at all, Ray. God bless, and it's good to hear from you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Evanston, Illinois. Hi, Mike.
Mark, I'm sorry. That's okay. Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, okay. Reasonable. considering where I'm living, and I'm planning hopefully to move next year.
Okay. Yeah, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, comment mostly, and I agree with everything you're saying. Okay. And one thing I noticed, just in an observation, okay, this where I'm living right here, it's a university town, right? You know, as we call it, an evil empire, Northwestern. And I noticed these kids, you know, and I listen, I talk, you know, I'm out and around all the time. And what I see is, you know, they may have gotten straight A's in whatever their subject is, but they're stupid. They have no common sense. They don't have a clue as to what's really going on.
Do you have fluoridated water there?
Well, I don't drink it. Yeah, well, they've been doing that for years because I know for a fact that fluoride is a neurotoxin.
Sure it is.
And I don't drink it. Okay,
I just wonder if these kids are not very smart, would they have been drinking that, or is it just because
of
the education system?
Well, but it's also brainwashing.
Right,
okay. A lot of these kids are being taught now from cradle to grave that the Constitution is outdated, and we need a constitutional convention to get rid of it, you know. These universities, I mean, I don't know about all of them, but like Northwestern, they are extremely socialistic. I mean, they're extremely anti-American. Northwestern
right.
is known for this.
Right. That's what it is.
And it's just like a few other things, like with the, you know, with the money system. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that the Federal Reserve has nothing to do with the government.
Sure.
It's a bunch of private bankers, gangsters, whatever you want to call them. And it's, as you know, it's printing press money.
Right.
You know, and sooner or later, you know, the house of cards is going to fall.
Well, I think that probably Melody would agree with you. Is there anything you'd like to
add? I'm sorry, what did you say? I couldn't hear you. What?
I said I'm sure Melody would agree with you. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, okay, my question is, do you think it's too late?
Melody, how would you respond to Mark? Do you think it's too late to do anything about what's going on?
You know what, I always have hope that it isn't. You know, I always hope that there's something that perhaps will be, you know, some sort of organization, a grassroots organization. But you know what? That's the problem. We're not organized. And whether something will have to happen from left field in order to where a lot of these problems that we have will have to be addressed, they will be forced to address these problems. But I'm afraid that the people in Washington, I don't think they have the will to change anything. I mean, again, their only desires is to be reelected, to become wealthy, they get bought off, they become corrupt, and I don't think they have the will, and I don't think they have the know-how to fix the problems that we have. So, you know, something's going to have to happen in order that these problems that we have get addressed. I don't know if we can change things little by little. Maybe one thing here, maybe something will happen that will help us. But, I mean, I can't say that it's too late for everything. You know, I always have to have hope. But we're pretty close, I think. And I can't see anything. I mean, there isn't anything that's being addressed.
All right, Mark, I would simply say that from my point of view, worse is better. Things are going to have to get a lot worse before they can ever get better. We've got to get people's attention. As long as times are good, as long as we're affluent, who's really going to care? Who's going to care about these abstract ideas like freedom? And so, first of all, the best thing that could happen when things get a lot worse, an awful lot of people are going to lose their homes, their jobs, and I believe there's going to be violence on our streets, and only when things get worse are going to people begin looking for answers, and that's why we've got to be there to provide them for them. But behind everything going on politically and economically is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men. Until we address that, we're not going to be able to address what this is really all about, or why we've turned our back on the most wonderful nation in the world and embraced truly satanic programs here in America. So anyway, we got real problems, but remember, worse is better. And of course, if we're going to enjoy the fruits of freedom, we're going to have to be willing to fight for it, but we're going to have to fight with ideas. That's what we're up to. Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, somebody's still...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Mark, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah. I just wanted to make a couple more comments. There's a real misconception out there, okay, that Mexicans or whoever, whatever these illegals coming in, they work for like substandard wages. That's not true, okay? They're getting top dollar around here, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, they've totally taken over the landscaping businesses, and they are buying up houses like you wouldn't believe, okay? And also, okay, I just want to make a comment about what's going on in the Middle East, over there in Iraq and everything else. People have to realize those people over there have been fighting for 5,000 years, okay? The British were in there for 100 years. They couldn't handle them, you know? And it's like, I don't have the answers, but the bottom line is we're sinking all this money into a toilet that's constantly flushing, okay?
Okay, Mark, did you ever stop to think it's really a great diversion to keep our attention away from what's going on?
Of course. I'm not stupid. I know what's going on. Okay. I mean, you're an intelligent man, too.
God bless you. Look, we're going to have to let you go, but thank you so much for calling.
I want you
to get everybody back there in Evanston listening, will you?
Yeah, okay, but also thank you for your time, and thank you for listening to me, and thank you for letting me, shoot off my mouth, okay?
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, fine. How was it? Do you have any thoughts at all for Mark there at Evanston?
You know, I have a lot of customers, and I talk to a lot of clients and a lot of people that feel the same way as Mark. They're frustrated, and they see things happening, and it's like there isn't much we can do until, like what you said, things become worse, and until there is a time. There will be a time, and we will have to stand up. But so I can relate to the frustration that is out there for those of us who know what's going on and see the things that are happening and the destruction of this country.
Well, of course, the people on the other side, I call them the globalists, the plotters, call them what you will, Brotherhood of Darkness, they know that it's going to become very obvious very soon what they're doing. And the American people are going to be waking up. And so they have to have everything in place for their dictatorship. These people don't believe in freedom. When we pass these terrible draconian laws, the John Wagner, pardon me, this new act, and then of course this Military Commissions Act, and these things are really all prologues to a dictatorship. And it's about time the American people understood the John Warner National Disabilities Act has to do not with terrorism, but with controlling the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Melody, why don't you just go ahead and get your telephone number out and help people get in touch with you and, of course, what you have to offer for them.
My phone number is 1-800-375-4188. And that number again is 800-375-4188. And the listeners can visit the website at Discount Gold and Silver Trading with AND spelled out, A-N-D. So it's discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. You can visit the website. It tells you a little bit about what the company is all about. We don't post prices of gold, silver, platinum, or palladium. The website is just to give you an idea how we do business, some questions, and we always want you to pick up the telephone and call the 800 number so we can talk with you directly and help you, because we believe that everybody is different. Everybody has, you have different views, you have different situations, you have different budgets, you have different investment objectives, and we don't sell one product to everyone. We believe that your decisions is an important part of putting together a portfolio.
And of course, it's very interesting. Silver certainly has been hanging around $13, almost 13, a little over 13, but it's really doing pretty well. Gold, they seem to keep trying to knock it down, but everything, I always like to see what's happening in Dubai. And, of course, there you always find that right now, of course, the gold is going for about $10 an ounce more than it is there, certainly in the United States. But what's happening to the platinum this last couple of days? I mean, it's gyrated up almost $150 an ounce and then was back down again at the end of the day. What's going on there, Melody? What's happening with platinum?
Well, platinum has hit a record high of more than $1,400 over in London trading. And what it was due to speculators covering their short positions. And there was a lot of discussion and speculation that a platinum-backed exchange-traded fund, an ETF, was being planned. But they're not so sure that the market would be able to weather that because the market, the platinum market, is very tight and there's very little platinum. The gold market is about 17 times larger than the platinum market, and when you see what platinum is used for the automotive market, for the catalytic converter, and for jewelry, there's just not enough platinum out there to supply an ETF. So there was a lot of speculation. They drove it up. They drove it up strong, and it came back. It came down just as fast as it went up. So I think we'll continue to see a little bit of fluctuation in platinum. We'll see how much of a rumor this ETF is. And but there's a lot of discussion that if there was an ETF, that it would be a problem with the production of platinum.
Could you explain to our listeners what an ETF is? Many of them, we use these terms that I know what you mean and you know what you mean, but so many of the listeners don't know what an ETF is.
It's an exchange-traded fund. It's platinum, it's gold. Well, it's not platinum yet, but they do have a gold, they do have a silver, to where you can trade gold without taking possession of it. You get to own a portion of it. I believe with gold it's a tenth of an ounce that you purchase, and it is to be stored somewhere. And I guess there's a lot of discussions as far as whether, you know, there's actually gold being stored. And that's what you have to be careful of if you get involved with these exchange-traded funds. Or, you know, I had a call the other day. Someone asked me that if they sold their bullion back to me, if I would be able to pay them in e-gold. And that is gold traded, this is like PayPal. Instead of paying with dollars, you pay with gold. And anytime you have anyone like that keeping track of your gold, it's probably not a real good idea. The best thing to do is take possession of your gold. If you want to dabble with it and play with it and you don't mind losing it, well, you know, that's one thing. But for most of us, we don't have, we work hard for our money, so, you know, we want to invest it wisely and purchase gold and silver and take possession of it and have it by your side. So if anything happens, if there was a major computer crash or anything like that, you don't have to worry about your digits being dissolved in a matter of nanoseconds, I guess. So you have to be careful with any of that paper trading, because basically that's all you have. All you get is a statement, either monthly or quarterly, telling you this is what you have. So, and that's the whole purpose of buying gold, is you don't want your investments in paper.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But the gold market, people calling, are they buying gold and silver at the present time, or are they simply standing to one side?
No, there's quite a bit of activity going on, and it isn't like the activity isn't any type of panic. The general populace, the general public is still not in the market. We're still in the second phase of gold, where you have institutional investors that are in the market. We have yet to reach the third stage, and that's when the general public gets into the market, and that's when the prices go crazy. So, I mean, we've been in business for a long time, so we have our regular buyers, we have our regular customers, and so we get lots of referrals. So usually we're pretty active no matter what gold does. And so, but gold, we had a good day in gold today. It was up almost $7, and it's around the 630, 629 mark. And silver is doing well. That was up 34 cents today at $13. Pardon?
Where did it close, do you recall?
It's at $13.11 today with the close.
Okay. And of course, there are many of the people, I mean, the people are a lot smarter than I am, who really feel that as we have more and more economic problems, as the value of the dollar turns down, and it's going to have to turn down because we have this massive debt and no means of paying it, and we're having to borrow from other countries in the world just to pay our debts. And the only alternative to that would be to do what was responsible and cut back spending. There's no way we're going to do that. The politicians wouldn't let you. The politicians, of course, want to manipulate the system to their own advantage. In fact, it was a Senator Stevens up in Alaska who wanted to spend, you know, $250 million to build a bridge to an island with 50 people on it where his daughter owns the property. A lot of people said, look, it'd be a lot cheaper to buy a jet plane for everybody on the island than to spend a quarter of a trillion dollars to buy, you know, to build a bridge to nowhere. That was what was known as the bridge to nowhere. But that's the sort of thing that goes on all the time. Total waste of massive amounts of money by our duly elected representatives who are looking after themselves and could really care less about the population. And faced with that, eventually the whole system is going to go belly up. My fear is that certainly this is going to lead to a collapse of the financial institutions of this country. And we know that Warren Buffett is very concerned. We know that he is betting against the dollar, billions and billions of dollars, after losing almost $900 million last year. He is still betting against the dollar this year. And Warren Buffett's a lot smarter than I am, that's for sure. And then, of course, we know what Paul Volcker has said recently about his fear about our economy, what Robert Rubin has said recently, what Professor Joe Stiglitz has said, what Richard Russell has said. And most people are going blithely along as if nothing's going to happen.
You know, a lot of those guys, even Buffett, I mean, yeah, he's smart, but he's an insider. He's one of them. So when you have one of them betting against it, and they're coming out and betting against the dollar, I mean, that's what you really have to pay attention to. And so if we believe that we're globalized, if the listeners believe that we're on our way to globalization, and that's their ultimate goal, and in order for them to, for the completion of their new world, or their one world order, I mean, they will have to have a currency that's equally acceptable. And if the dollar isn't going to be able to support, you know, continue as the world reserve, because there's too many countries that they don't want it. You know, they don't want the dollar anymore. They understand and see the problems that we're having back in this country. They see our financial woes on the horizon. And it's like, why do they want to be holding all these trillions of dollars and see it continue to be devalued? So one of these days, one of these countries, whether it be China, whether it be Japan, whether they're going to say, well, I think today's going to be the day, and it'll be a mass liquidation of the U.S. dollar. So something will have to replace that to stabilize the world. And so that is when you have the speculation of the trickier currencies and as gold being the world trade unit. It will have to be something that will be equally acceptable for all these countries that trade.
And of course, the day is going to come, ladies and gentlemen, where you're not going to be able to get your money out of this country, and you're not going to be able to bring money into this country, and they're going to have exchange controls. It's only a matter of time. This is what they always do. When you have irresponsible government, then, of course, they punish the population. And I'm sure that everything is in place for these exchange controls. They're not going to tell you until one day, of course, you wake up and the value of your currency is gone and it's too late to do anything about it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I am not a financial advisor. I'm an amateur historian, and I think I understand fairly well the fact that there are very powerful people who have an intense hatred of America, who really wish to impoverish our people because they know the only way they can control us in an authoritarian system is to destroy the affluence of our people, and they'll be groveling, of course, for anything at all that they can get from the government to sustain them and their family. And this has happened in country after country that's turned against God. In fact, when Solzhenitsyn was asked, what happened to Russia? And his reply was, the people forgot God. I think a lot of people go into church here in this country, but so many of the church services now look more like like a rock concert and sound more like a rock concert than they do of a house of worship. Well, if you have a question, a comment about what's going on economically, give us a call. But I really am very, very concerned that we are on the edge of a major cataclysmic event, and certainly many of the major economists that who I have a great deal of confidence in, apparently the chief economist for Morgan Stanley, has said that we've got a 50-80% chance of moving into a recession. But I think the most shocking thing that I'm seeing is certainly that it would appear that suddenly, just almost within the last couple of weeks, people are really beginning dramatically to slow down their buying of regular items. Now, I'm certainly glad to know that they're continuing to buy gold and silver, because I think that's a very, 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 very good thing to be doing at this time. Anything at all to protect the value of their life savings, because my fear is that so many of the people who have put their confidence in this whole idea of a digital currency are going to wake up one morning to find that everything they worked for their entire life is gone. Could that really happen, Melody?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think it could. And people have to realize, you know, when we had the dot-com bubble, the NASDAQ 5000, they weren't going to let people walk away with their profits. They didn't allow people to walk away with their funds. People lost it. Those people that lost it never were able to recoup their losses. I mean, yes, they were able to pull equity. We had the housing boom that replaced the dot-com bubble, but their money went into things. They went into the trinkets. It didn't go back into the markets. And you know, look where the NASDAQ is now. It's still at, it's still at 2,400. So, and the same thing is going to happen to every other investment out there. They're not going to allow you to walk away with your funds. Yeah, sure, there's going to be a lot of you that are lucky, that perhaps you'll be able to retire and to take your funds and to get it out of the markets prior to it falling. But they're not going to let. We have too many baby boomers that will be retiring in the very near future. And if you really think that they're going to allow them to walk away with all their money, I don't think that's the case. So, yes, we have some major financial problems in the very near future. The problem is we know what can happen, and we know what probably will happen. We just don't know when it will happen. And so time is of the essence, and I know people become complacent, they procrastinate, they don't see anything that's happening tomorrow or nothing scary is, you know, on the horizon, maybe next week or next month, and, you know, gold is teetering, so it's just like, and the market's going up. So they do take a back seat, and they decide, well, you know, I'll wait. Well, you have to remember also, the Dow is symbolic. You know, people think times are safe, then things are okay, because the Dow is, you know, 12-3. We were hitting all-time highs, and when that starts to drop, and we see it break 12, 11, and 10, that's when the panic will set in, and you'll see all kinds of odd things happening. So you have to prepare before that happens. Don't wait. And what people don't understand, too, yeah, we have gold that is, what did I say earlier, 17 times larger than the platinum market, but there's not a lot of gold out there. It's not going to take much of a run for gold to disappear, for gold coins to disappear. We saw it happen prior to Y2K, and I don't think Y2K is anything like what we face in the near future. There was a little bit of a product, and products disappeared. It took longer to get in, even bullion. You know, it would take, you know, 3 weeks for us to get certain types of quarter-ounce gold eagles in. And and that was with just a slim percentage of people buying the product. So when you had the general populace come in and you had that third stage come in and they begin to buy in and your neighbors begin to jump on the bandwagon and the price goes crazy, I think you could see a time where a product will be very hard to get a hold of.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Mike here. Is this, I don't know, is this the same Mike or a different Mike? Is this the same Mike?
Same Mike.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Couldn't resist. You had the caller talking about Hewlett-Packard and Carlo Fiorina. I just had to call in to tell what a small world it is. Before Carly Fearing, it was at Hewlett-Packard. She was at Lucent Enterprises, or Lucent Technologies, otherwise known as Lucifer Enterprises. Based in New York City, they, even though they don't tell you that on their website, it's on 666 Fifth Avenue. She must have done some kind of an end run while she was there because the stock was trading in the $45 to $50 range. And after she left, it's down under a dollar even at one point. It's been hovering since the beginning of this decade between around in the $1 and $2 range. So just a few more pieces of the puzzle.
Amen to that. Well, yeah. It's, there's 666. Is that Broadway?
No, that's scraping my memory. Fifth Avenue. Fifth Avenue or Park Avenue. I've got pictures of the building with the 666 and the big red numerals, 20 feet high, up at the 28th story. I'm trying to think of the name of it, Tishman Building.
Okay, yeah. Thanks very much.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Melody Cedars from Melody. You got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Lucent. Lucent is still one of the most highly traded stocks out there, even though it's at a dollar and trades between $1 and $2. But the 800 number for Discount Gold and Silver is 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And if you have a question, you can email me a question, and that would be at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. That is discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And I get lots of emails, and, you know, I think everybody understands the junk mail that you get, so if you send an email and for some reason it doesn't get responded to, just please make sure you re-mail it, because I go deleting, and I certainly wouldn't want to delete your email, so... discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. We do a great job here. We've been doing it for a long time. We don't fit everybody into the square peg because, again, I believe everybody has different investment objectives, different budgets, different financial situations, different goals, whether you're going to be paying off a credit card. And that's the one thing you should always try to do is get out of debt first. You know, so you want to get rid of those credit cards. So we take all that into consideration when you're doing your portfolio. And silver is a great investment, but it is still industrial and it's still volatile.
Oh, actually, weight over and stuff like that, because, I mean, it's sort of a general thing.
I'm sorry, Don, did you have a question for our guest?
Excuse me?
Do you have a question for our guest?
Oh, my God, I got on.
You got on, yeah? You got about 30 seconds.
Okay. I was trying to get to the point of, instead of the banks and the other financial you sort of surprised me because I didn't think I was going to get on that quick. People need to realize that we need to get rid of the banks. I mean, first off, I'm sorry, because I really didn't have time to...
All right, fine. Well, let me tell you what, we'll have Melody on here again real soon, but what you're saying is we got to do something about this banking system, because everything is built upon credit, everything's built upon phony money. They create money out of nothing, and then they have the audacity to charge us interest on it. Don, thanks very much for being with us. Bye-bye. We're out of time. Melody, just one more time. Melody, one more time. Let's go ahead and get your telephone number and your website out.
What an ending. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. DiscountGoldandSilverTrading.net is the website, and you can email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
And of course, we're out of time. Melody, God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll be talking to you real soon.
Same to you, Dr. Stan. God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was Melody. And we always enjoy having Melody on and talking about these things. And I think it's vitally important you understand that You know, we've been talking for a long time, but I think we're right on the verge now of some dramatic changes. Now, if you have not yet heard my talk, it's entitled The Financial Tsunami. And it comes with a syllabus that has all the government figures and the Z1 figures, which, of course, the total debt figures put up by the Federal Reserve System to point out that we are increasing our total debt as a nation, federal, state, local, personal, car, house debt, at $1 trillion every 3 months. And we've gone over the last year from about $40 trillion of debt up to $44 trillion in debt. These are the latest zip figures, or close to that. Understand what's really going on, and then, of course, make your plans accordingly. We hope many of you, of course, will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The talk is called The Financial Tsunami, and it comes with a syllabus, which we recommend. Also, of course, we have a little pamphlet called The History of Money. Very important that you understand what is going on, you understand what money really is. And these are simply five of my newsletters we put together in a pamphlet, and you'll find it very, very enlightening. We carry the books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and Fiat Money Inflation in France. The Creature from Jekyll Island is written by our good friend Ed Griffin. I met Ed 44 years ago. We've been friends for a long time. But the book simply goes into the background of the whole monetary system and the fraud of the Federal Reserve, which is a privately owned central bank created by central bankers for central bankers to benefit central bankers. And, of course, their responsibility is to give us a stable currency, and they've destroyed 99% of the value of our currency during the last century. They started in 1913, and of course, the dollar that was worth a dollar then, it would be worth about $90 today. And the dollar we have today has, of course, dramatically lost its value. These things didn't happen by accident. They've got fabulously wealthy and of course, progressively impoverished our people. The second book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, will take you behind the scenes to the people who control this and how they're benefiting themselves. But what people do not understand is that there is a spiritual force behind this whole movement. And it's all about creating a world government. And these people have gotten fabulously wealthy. But, of course, many of them have sold their souls to the dark side. If you have not yet seen our videos or DVDs, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to get it. Hostage to the Devil by Father Malachi Martin, a Jesuit priest. And you need to get that along with our 4-tape set. My interviews with Father Malachi, the Wisdom of Malachi Martin. We call it the Malachi Martin Special if you get both of them. The book Hostage to the Devil is something you will never forget, I promise you. It's the history of 5 exorcisms as recorded by the Catholic Church. We'll introduce you to the other dimension. Our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, they're a compilation of newsletters that simply quote from the people who really rule the world and their connection to the dark side. They call themselves the spiritual hierarchy. They don't make any bones about it. They know exactly what they're doing. They want a one world government and a new world religion. Please remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Then please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. If you can possibly help us, we'd appreciate it, because we are truly involved in a battle for the souls of men.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.